Let's talk about the Fool of the Thoth tarot deck.
The Fool is an illustration of Bacchus, Harpocrates, Dionysus, and other deities concerning creative fervor.
The three loops, kind of like an umbilical cord, around the Fool represent the three veils of no-thing in the Kabbalah, the Ein Sof Or.
In the Fool, we have our four elements: fire, represented by this flaming pine cone; water, represented by this cup; air, represented by the solar phallic symbol; and finally, earth, represented by our crocodile Sebek, down under.
Under the grapes of Dionysus, there is a bag which carries tokens with the glyphs of the planets and the signs. This symbolizes literally the potential of the cosmos within the Fool's bag.
This card, being completely void of reason, is the divine insanity of the universe coming into being, but also you taking a leap of faith.
The Magus card represents will, our personal will, but also the divine will of the universe, the Logos. This is expressed in the card through the archetype of the magician and as the deity Hermes and Thoth.
The Caduceus, which folds into this beautiful lemniscate, that's the infinity symbol, like an eight, that represents infinity, but specifically the infinite feedback loop between self and otherness. That feedback loop is the very nature of communication gods like Hermes, who are always coming and going from here and there. This here and there duality is the core meaning of the Magus card, and is both its glory and also its trickery. Remember, Hermes was a trickster.
The magic of the Magus is the illusion of separation. We can see the Magus here literally bending the fabric of space-time to create a matrix.
If you get this card in a reading, it usually symbolizes talent, ability, utilization of tools, resources, and mind.
The Priestess card of the Thoth tarot deck represents a very significant threshold of the greatest mystery.
She forms the link between the actual world, what we're experiencing right now, and the ideal world of eternity, the formless.
Remember how in the Magus I said that he is literally bending the fabric of space-time existence to create a matrix? Well, that matrix has become the veil of the Priestess.
Her veil is the illusion of separation, and once we move beyond that, we can attain ineffable bliss. She has seven crescent moons as her crown. She is attributed to the moon, an intelligence of borrowed light, which also represents the subconscious and our collective unconscious. On her lap, there is the bow of Artemis, because she hunts by enchantment.
The formlessness above radiates down below, and we can see various forms of vegetable and animal starting to take shape.
The Empress is a card of love in all of its ways. She is attributed to Venus, planet of love, values, and relationships, and she shows us the diversity of relationships between all sensation and experience.
Her posture shows the glyph of salt. Salt is the passive ingredient in alchemy, and her passivity complements her consort, the Emperor, which we'll get into in the next video.
On the bottom left, you'll notice a pelican feeding its young. It was once believed that pelicans fed their young with their own blood. Notice how the Empress is turning away from this pelican, as if to say that self-sacrifice for love is not the formula that we're going for here. Instead, she turns to this white eagle, which represents a very specific thing in sex magic. She's attributed to the Hebrew letter Dalet, whose symbol is a door. Behind her, we notice an archway representing a door to life, but also death. In a reading, this is beauty, pleasure, fertility, and love.
White gluten of the Empress, red blood of the Emperor, we get duality and a whole lot of sex magic.
The Emperor takes the diverse relationships nurtured by the Empress and organizes them into some sort of structure.
His posture suggests the glyph of sulfur, which is the masculine activating agent in the alchemical process, also related to Rajas in the Vedic system.
He holds tightly a sphere surmounted by a Maltese cross, symbolizing dominion.
The ram's head decorates his throne, which is a symbol of Aries, the first cardinal fire sign who he is attributed to.
The golden crown of six points represents the sun, which is exalted in Aries, and the general red color refers to Mars, which rules Aries.
The Emperor turns to the red eagle, while the Empress turns to the white eagle, representing two extremes that balance out the universe.
The Hierophant card represents the connection between spirit and matter. This is done in several ways. Aleister Crowley expresses this in his own mythology through three deities: Osiris above as the Hierophant, Nuit below as Venus and Isis, and Horus in the center as the child. The masculine and feminine are bringing together this child to represent a new aeon. The bull behind the Hierophant represents Taurus, its attributed zodiacal sign. The bull also alludes to the myth of Pasiphae and the Minotaur, which, like the accounts of Jesus Christ, have ideas of divine conception. And that is the essential core of this card, the Hierophant bridging the material to the spiritual. The Lover's card of the Thoth Tarot illustrates the chemical marriage of Christian Rosenkreutz, one of the founders of the Rosicrucians, which may or may not have existed. All sex magic aside, the Lover's card essentially represents the splitting of unity into duality and that lovely dance that we love, incarnation. Above, we have the Hermit, which may symbolize carbon and life, descending into separate selves. The creative and loving act of the Hermit above, also symbolized by Eros, is reflected downwards by the creative act of love, relationship, and procreation. The Orphic egg below, the gray egg with the serpent coiled around it, symbolizes any creative process that comes about through duality. If you pull the Lover's card in a reading, it's time to make a choice, see your options, and see what is possible. There's more ways to go about your situation than you think. The Chariot of the Thoth Tarot deck represents any vessel through which some subtle entity can become embodied. A chariot, for example, is the apparatus of the charioteer, in the way that the body is the apparatus for the mind, which is itself the apparatus of something else. The Chariot holds here the vessel of all vessels, the Holy Grail, the Cup of Babylon, and the Goblet of Fire. The remixed sphinxes below represent our various personality traits that express our higher self. The Adjustment card of the Thoth deck represents the active, dynamic balancing act of the universe and you. Let's talk about it. The Fool card and the Harlequin of the Adjustment card are both entities in this circus of manifestation, in this phantom show of time and space. In this card, we see Alpha balanced by Omega, the beginning and the end. All beginnings and ends happen in causality, and causality is the core meaning of this card, which is why the Adjustment card is often connected to ideas of karma, which is action, cause and effect. Under the blindfold of objectivity, our Ma'at Harlequin figure here sees every possible instance in the universe and its exact causal relationship with everything else. If you get this card in a reading, it's time to look at what you are creating for yourself. Look at the causality in your life and check in on your karma. What are your automatic knee-jerk reactions to things, and what do those reactions create for yourself? The Hermit card in the Thoth Tarot deck is all about the intelligence of the universe continuing a long-term alchemical process. Let's talk about it. The Hermit here represents the Logos, which is the intelligent universe, as it continues the process of forming and dancing and buzzing and quantum foaming and all sorts of things. The Hermit holds the sun in his lamp, which symbolizes creative power and revelation, but the lamp itself is very interesting. It's an octahedron with eight sides. The number eight is connected with Mercury, which is a planet often connected to the Logos, the word, the will of the universe. This will of the universe, embodied by the Hermit, has its sights set on the Orphic egg, which is a symbol of manifestation coming about through duality and gender. If you get this card in a reading, it's all about higher intelligence and guidance, especially used or learned in an adventure into the unknown. The Wheel of Fortune in the Thoth Tarot deck is literally everything. Let's talk about it. Fortune is a glyph of the machinations of the universe in revolution, cyclicity, manifestation, and general moreness. In this card, we are met with three interesting characters: the Sphinx, Hermanubis, and Set Typhon. These three characters represent three alchemical ingredients: sulfur, salt, and mercury. This correlates to the Eastern Vedic ideas of rajas, tamas, and sattvas. In the Sankhya philosophy, these are the three primordial sub-elements that combine in various ways to create the manifest universe, prakriti. When you get this card in a reading, it means that stuff is moving and grooving to create more stuff, and usually that's a good thing. Fame, wealth, fortune, but sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. It's a great idea to reconnect with yourself and decide what do you want to create next out of what is available to you. The Lust card departs from the traditional Rider-Waite-Smith deck by incorporating a very devious deity. Let's talk about it. In Aleister Crowley's Lust card in the Thoth Tarot deck, we're looking at ideas of creation, sex, power, through a very interesting deity. Babylon. Babylon is Crowley's reinterpretation of the cosmic whore of Revelation. Here she is riding in ecstasy upon the beast. The core meaning of this card is the identity between love and death. Babylon is like this cosmic orgasm who releases herself to create every possible form. And every possible form releases itself to return back to her in the same orgasm. Specifically returning to this cup up here, the cup of Babylon, which may be also interpreted as the Holy Grail and, of course, the Goblet of Fire. If you get this card in a reading, it's talking about creative fervor. It's about losing yourself in your passion, which isn't always a bad thing. The Hanged Man in Aleister Crowley's Thoth Tarot deck represents the formula of the dying god. Let's talk about it. The formula of the dying god was popular among Abrahamic religions, but it didn't stop there. It was also in other spiritual systems. And the basic idea is that you're born one way, and then you release some major illusion, or you go through a significant death, and then you are reborn into a better version of you, or a higher awareness. Crowley expresses that idea in The Hanged Man, but cautions us, attempting to subvert that formula in favor of one of the new aeon. Aleister Crowley's new aeon, we're not so much looking at how we can die to be reborn, but how we can directly and immediately recognize our absolute truth. And so this card in the Thoth Tarot deck represents an older method of spiritual awareness or learning a lesson that involves sacrifice, but the sacrifice isn't always needed. Symbolically, we're seeing light and life above coming down into darkness in order to redeem it. Notice that we have a snake above and a snake below. If you pull this card in a reading, you might be feeling stuck, or you may have to make sacrifices, or you may be becoming aware of a new perspective that could change everything. I could literally teach an entire course on just this card, so if you want to know more, let me know. The Death card doesn't mean death, except when it does. Let's talk about it. There's a lot of death going on in these three cards. In the Lust card, there's death through the beloved and desire. In the Hanged Man, there is death through sacrifice, and in death, there is actual death. Now, it doesn't have to be physical death, but it includes physical death, so get over it. What's important to know in this card is that with every death, there is a transformation into something more subtle. This is literally illustrated by this soul who, when decapitated by the scythe, gets to dance in the bubbles, reaching upward and onward. The actual figure here is Osiris, who was cut up by his jealous brother Set and scattered around the world. The last piece of Osiris to be found was his penis, which was devoured by a fish. The Art card is one of the most esoteric tarot cards, and so I can only scratch the surface in a 60-second video. But let's try. What was destroyed in the Death card is now integrated in the Art card. In the Thoth deck, we are looking at a version of Diana the Huntress. Behind her is a golden globe with the notaricon of the word vitriol, the universal solvent. There's an Easter egg of the Death card in the cauldron below. We see the caput mortem, the skull, with a raven on top, signifying that whatever died is being reintegrated in this alchemical process. The red of the lion and the white of the eagle from the Lover's card have now changed places so that the lion is white and the eagle is red. This exchange of opposites to integrate into something larger is the essential core meaning of the R card. So when it shows up in a reading, look at what is tense in your life, look at what is contradictory, and see if you can bring it together. Essentially, get your shit together, but in a healing opportunity. Thank God we have a devil card in the tarot, because if we didn't, you wouldn't be watching this right now. Literally, the devil is the material universe. Let's talk about it. In the Thoth Tarot deck, the devil card represents the raw desire and creative potential of the material world. And it's that very creative potential that is allowing you to experience everything you're experiencing now. Not only because it is procreation itself, but it is also all of sensation. These ideas are symbolized in the devil card via this clearly phallic symbol. We know that Aleister Crowley loved a good phallic symbol and will use one wherever he can. In a reading, this is blind impulse. This is creativity, but not balanced by reason. And so sometimes the devil card can show up for addictions, shadow work, and irresistibility. The Tower card is such a great card, and if you don't believe me, listen up. The Tower card is purification through destruction, which is literally happening everywhere all at once. It's not only metabolism, but it's molecular construction and deconstruction and all the chemical compounds and atoms and jiving and quantum foam of the universe. It's the Tower. If there's one thing that you need to remember about the major arcana cards, it's that each of them is an expression of love and destruction at the same time, especially in the Thoth Tarot deck. When we get to the Tower card, that love and destruction is expressed in material form, which doesn't always look like what we think love to be. The Tower here represents anything we've constructed for ourselves, physically like a home, or intellectually like our ego. The destruction of which can be terrible, but also beautiful as it reveals a higher truth. That destruction is symbolized by the belching fire coming from the jaws of Dis. If you like the Rider-Waite-Smith Star card, wait till you learn about the Thoth. This card expresses probably the most cosmic idea of love I've ever read, and her name is Nuit. Crowley's deity Nuit is infinite space, infinite potential, fully saturating everything, everywhere, all at once, with love. She is the boundless sky goddess whose consort is Hadit, the infinite point of view. In the Star card, what is being symbolized is the economy of the universe. She continuously pours the universe back onto herself, but nothing is ever lost. It's only always in blissful, continuous transmutation. If you get this card in a reading, it's time to trust. It's time to set your sights on what is true for you and allow the quantum foam of the universe to support you. I love that I can breathe without consciously doing so, and I owe all of that to the Moon card. Let's talk about it. The Moon card in Aleister Crowley's Thoth Tarot is the mysteries of the subconscious mind. It's what happens in the literal backstages of our brain, outside of our conscious view. This is represented by the Egyptian god Khafre, who draws the sun into midnight on the opposite side of the earth at the apex of darkness. This is the threshold of Anubis, death and transition. And when you get this card in a reading, it's all about facing the unknown aspects of yourself, the shadow, what you don't love. But as Crowley says, how splendid is the adventure? You don't know liberation until you know the Sun card of the Thoth Tarot deck. Let's talk about it. The Sun card of the Thoth Tarot deck represents Heru Raha, the god of the new aeon, according to Crowley, that is. The sun here is a symbol of you, your ego, your central point in your subjective universe, YO universe. And the sun is reaching in every direction infinitely into the zodiac, symbolizing ultimate liberation and all possibility. Below we have the two forms of Crowley's Heru Raha, Horus, a god of life and energy and vigor, but also revenge. If you get this card in a reading, it's all about liberation, freedom, fun, and just enjoying a good time. Crowley says, they dance in the sun, and yet they dwell upon the earth. The Aeon card of the Thoth Tarot deck departs from the Rider-Waite-Smith probably more than any other card. In this card, we're not met with the last judgment of revelation, but the stele of revealing, or at least Lady Frieda Harris's version of that. And it goes like this. There are three main deities at the party. We have Nuit as the sky, Hadit as the center, and Rahorquit as Horus. Nuit is the infinite potential, Hadit is the infinite point of view, and they come together to create life and light and all possibility and fun, which is Horus. The main idea to remember with this card is it's entering into a new aeon, a new paradigm. And so when this card shows up in a reading, it's you entering into a new major phase of yourself or shifting with a collective paradigm shift, which, needless to say, we've seen a lot of lately. Aleister Crowley's universe card in the Thoth Tarot deck symbolizes the last moment before complete merging in universal consciousness unity, and that can be symbolized in literally infinite ways. So let's talk about it. The four cherubic beasts here represent a manifestation of the sacred name of God. Yod Heh Vav Heh Yahweh, Vika Vika, what way? This way, that way. The woman here represents us, also the princesses of the Thoth Tarot deck, and the unawakened soul about to merge with everything. She does this through stepping on the head of the snake. This snake is the same snake that tempted Eve in the beginning to start the whole process in the fall of Eden. Now we overcome it and integrate that event into the whole cosmic play. It's kind of like a cosmic scale of shadow work. You know how when you finally get over a recurring obstacle in your life, you sort of release and surrender to it and then integrate it? Yeah, it's like cosmic shadow work, I guess.